This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everyone. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak Radio. Here, when the people speak, we make a difference. You can listen to the people speak on bbsradio.com live every Tuesday night from 8:55 to 9:50 Eastern Standard Time. You can also log into our website at thepeoplespeakradio.com and listen to us live there. Join us also live on Pal Talk and listen to the archives of previous shows. Tonight we're really being tested as far as our talents with live radio, and sometimes with live radio you do have a few snafus. Let's see if our guest is with us. Fitha is... Hi, welcome.
Hi.
We thought we lost you for a minute. Fitha is a media organizer and an activist with the Free Palestine Movement, and is here to speak tonight about something that is near and dear to my heart, proposals for the Palestinian state and how we are going to accomplish that, as if it hasn't been accomplished before in the 70s. Currently, the proposal for the Palestinian state refers to the establishment of an independent state for the Palestinian people in Palestine on land that was occupied by Israel since the Six-Day War in 1967, and before by Egypt in the Gaza Strip and by Jordan in the West Bank since 1949. The proposals include the Gaza Strip, which is currently controlled by Hamas faction and the Palestinian National Authority, the West Bank, which is administered by the Fatah faction and the Palestinian National Authority, and East Jerusalem, which is under Israeli sovereignty. Now, Fitha, how are you going to help us in accomplishing this tremendous feat?
Okay, first of all, both organizations that I'm volunteering with, the Free Palestine Movement and September 15, we actually don't have a stand on the statehood issue the way the proposal is going to be put into the UN bit, because we believe that it's not completely representing what the Palestinians want. And my personal opinion is that I'm afraid that the way it's going to be voted on, the Palestinians might lose certain rights, like the right of return, which is very important that the right of return has to be kept, because, you know, that's something that everybody has been fighting for. So we are definitely for a Palestinian state and for self-determination for the Palestinians. It is just that we all have to really watch out and look that the proposal that is being put in September 21st is that all the Palestinian rights are going to be basically kept. Yeah.
May I ask you, September 15th is considered the International Day of Democracy. The United Nations has declared that day to be such, and the United Nations defines democracy, and I'm reading this right from the September 15th.org. The United Nations defines it as a universal value based on freely expressed will of people to determine their own political, economic, social, cultural systems, and their full participation in all aspects of their life. How is September 15th going to help? Now, although the September 15th International Day of Democracy is not in support of Palestinian statehood, it is just in support of democracy for all peoples. How are we going to use that to accentuate our push for Palestinian statehood?
Well, again, it's not that September 15 is not for a Palestinian state. It is just that we don't have the stance on the way the proposal is right now. So we say it's up to the Palestinians, and they have to decide what they want. Now, if a certain way, the way the PA is proposing it, you know, if Palestinian rights are suffering, then, of course, we're all going to be very upset, and we have to try and do our best to keep the rights for the Palestinians. These are certain things that we've been fighting for years. Now, when it comes to, you know, the day of democracy, international democracy, and, you know, and the way you already read from the definition is that it is very important for us to go out there on September 15, and we invite especially Americans to go out with us, because we're trying to say, Look what is the definition of democracy, but be aware that your tax dollars are going into funding the occupation of another people. You're funding with your government, basically. I don't want to, have my finger pointed out there to every American, because most Americans are not aware of this. So our responsibility is to go out there and say, come with us and let's talk about this. You know, what can you do? This is not how democracy should work, you know. Think about all these things, like how Americans, you know, a lot of Americans have to work sometimes two jobs to just get by. And then $30 billion of the U.S. aid has been going into Israeli, into Israel. And you need to come to the point where you say, okay, we need the money here. There is lack of jobs, you know, lack of good education, and some schools, you know, they really need new books, and all these really simple things that are important for young people.
I think one of the things that Americans often don't realize is over $3 billion a year goes to Israel to finance this unjust and illegal occupation. And part of these proceeds also go to the social service projects that happen in Israel, including education, including all of the things that we are denying American citizens here in this country of these funds to fund another country's educational programs, and in some cases, educational programs that defy legalities and defy protocol in the international community.
Exactly. And September 15, basically, we're all students and young adults, and most of us have started with the SGP, which is Students for Justice in Palestine. And we all started with really little knowledge about the issue. And, you know, every day we meet new people that lacking exactly what you were just pointing out. So for us, when we have the knowledge, it's our responsibility to say we need to have a change. We need to try to make a change, because there are people suffering every day, you know, lack of water, lack of education. They live under occupation, and the way the whole issue is being presented in the media is constantly wrong. It's to tell them, look, they're living under a collective punishment, which is against international law, and you have the right, the democratic right to change this. And that's what I believe September 15 stands for, you know, stop the aid into a country that is making another people really, basic, simply put, live under apartheid.
And not under a democratic society, which the International Day of Democracy stresses. And here in the United States, how do you explain that to say, citizens that you're trying to inform, when they say, well, Israel is a democracy, what do you say to them? I know what I say to them.
Well, they don't they don't just say Israel is a democracy. They go on and say Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, you know, which, mm-hmm. which, you know, sometimes I have to keep my temper a little down and, you know, try to speak very calm with people. I can basically point out a lot of things that say, look, this is not a democracy. First of all, we saw that throughout the holy month for us Muslims, when you go and you attack with no evidence that these people have committed a crime, you just go and you decide to constantly attack, you know, the Gaza Strip, which mm-hmm. happened throughout the Ramadan, the holy month for us Muslims. And no mainstream media has reported almost anything about this. And we have friends that live in Gaza, and we were very lucky. Well, if you can say lucky, but we just have, you know, the insight to see what is really going on. So when I can go out to these people and I say, look, we're working, you know, not only with Muslims, there is Christians involved, there is Muslims involved, there is everybody involved living there. I can get you in contact with these people. You can talk to them, and you can see how this cannot be a democracy. You know, when people are not able to freely move from one point to another point, when people, again, you know, lacking fresh water, when children are suffering still under, you know, the results of 2008. And when children, you know, let's go back to the children because they're the ones that are suffering the most. When children don't have the chance to have to go to a hospital and be treated like any other child around the world, you know, how can you say this is a democracy? This is the only democracy in the Middle East. And sometimes I say, you know, when you go back home to my country, those things don't happen. And we allow people to walk around freely, and people are allowed to, you know, follow any religion they want. You know, we don't just say, okay, you live in one corner, you're not allowed to move. That's like going back to what happened throughout the Second World War with the Jews in Germany. So it was not right for them. It was not right what happened throughout the apartheid in South Africa. So how come we're being quiet when it comes to the Palestinians? And
well, I don't think we are anymore. I think the world is right. Standing up and taking hold of a strong position, a grassroots position that is spreading like the Arab Spring has spread. And I don't think it's going to stop. I have a feeling. Let me ask you, Fidaha, can you tell me how, as an organizer, as a volunteer for the Free Palestine Movement, how are you organizing students and young adults and people and helping them to come together in ways that will help empower American citizens to stand up in defiance of what is happening to the Palestinians?
Well, again, you know, I have different positions. My position within the Free Palestine Movement, I take care of the social media, and the Free Palestine Movement has been active in this new big event that is coming up next year, in March 30th in 2012. It's called the Global March to Jerusalem, where mm-hmm. 1 million people from around the world are intending to march peacefully towards Jerusalem. And again, 1 million people peacefully, people from all countries, people from all religions. And there is a lot of good people working together in this project. And my job is really so small. But what I do is I take care of the social media. You know, I send invites to whoever I can reach out and say, come with us, you know. If 1 million people walk there, then we might have a chance, you know.
Well, I tell you, just so you will know, there is no job that is too small in this work. We have been struggling for over 63 years as Palestinians, and even prior to that, to get a foothold, and it is through people like yourselves and the Free Palestine Movement, the ISM, and many other organizations that have helped in conjunction with Israeli organizations that are saying enough, enough occupation, enough. It is no longer beneficial to Israel. It's no longer beneficial. It's never been beneficial to Palestine. And enough is enough. So I really appreciate. So don't ever say that in a small way. You are helping in a large way, and I appreciate that. And I know many Palestinians do.
And one last thing I want to say is there's the BDS movement, and every young person, you know, not only young person, everybody can join the BDS movement, which is the boycott and divest. Sanctions. Like, it's very simple that you can Google BDS and you will be directed to the website, which is also widely supported by Jewish Voice for Peace, where we, you know, not only suggest to boycott certain products like we did throughout the past years, we say don't go to Starbucks, don't do this, don't do that, you know, or, you know, don't try to purchase Nestle, because every 50 cents of a Nestle chocolate bar goes into a bullet that is being shot into a Palestinian child's head. And we've been doing this for years, but now there is the BDS movement where we're trying to get a lot of campuses involved, and we're having actually help from Jewish Voice for Peace as well, where we try to create events and we try to invite not only the Students for Justice in Palestine, other student groups, and say BDS is very simple. It involves, you know, telling TIA Crest not to invest into these big, huge companies that are, you know, benefiting from the Israeli occupation, like Caterpillar, as we know, helps very strongly to destroy the Palestinian homes, and we know Rachel Corrie died from a Caterpillar. Like, when we come out with, you know, literally pictures, we say Caterpillar, you know, Rachel Corrie, an American died, and the people finally, you know, can put something together, and the puzzle makes sense after all, and then they understand. They say, okay, we shouldn't be doing this. So the BDS movement has been very, very successful. As a matter of fact, a small success was that because we had a lot of, we put a lot of pressure on the award ceremony that was given, that was supposed to be given an award to Caterpillar, and they actually canceled at least the award ceremony. And still, Rachel Corrie's mom, she went into the museum where the ceremony was supposed to be happening, and she gave a petition from all of us where we really say, you know, don't award a company like that, you know.
You know, I often hear that the Zionist movement is being blamed for a lot of things, and they almost make it into a joke where they say, oh, it's all the Zionists' fault. But in fact, what ends up happening is look at what happened with Helen Thomas. Within moments after she uttered any kind of condemnation of the Israeli state, she was stripped of her job. She was stripped of many of her prestigious awards that she established in various universities. And I thought to myself, well, it's a good thing they don't have any power. What would happen if they did? We do have something for you. A friend of yours, Teresa, in California, said to tell Farhat that I love her. So there you go, you have a fan. I do have a question for you, though. Yes. Will the September 15th demonstrations be worldwide, or are they going to be focused specifically in Jerusalem?
They're going to be worldwide. People can go to September15.org. One of the main names behind September 15th, she will be attending the one in Tel Aviv. But we're having one on September 15th here in D.C., so if anyone is living around D.C., feel free to come out and find us on Facebook, September 15th, or if you are in New York City, many big names are going to be there, like the poet Remy Kanazi. There's going to be one in London, in California, so a lot of cities are involved, and I apologize, I don't have them all in my head, but there is the chance is there that people are, you know, they can go and find a city near them and attend. And it's going to be very appreciated. We've been working on handmade signs for, like, hours and hours, and we're really just totally grassroots, so we put a lot of time and energy into this, and I really hope that people get the chance to come out, bring a lot of Palestinian flags with you. That is also appreciated. I hope we will have, you know, a good time and bring out the word.
Well, I appreciate your being with us this evening, Farha. It's a pleasure having you on our side. Good luck to you. Good luck in your march. And keep us informed. We'll be keeping tabs on you. We're going to be taking a short break right now, and hopefully we'll have our next guest, Paul LaRudy, is it? LaRudy or LaRuda?
LaRudy.
That's what it sounds like. But thank you, Farha. It's a pleasure having you with us this evening.
Thank you so much.
Have be well. Night. We'll be back in a few minutes, folks.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine having banks and credit that serve the community, solvent and free of Wall Street corruption, that create strong local economy and job growth? Banks that put profits right back into the local business and economy, not into far-off foreign investments or high-risk and exotic finance schemes of the super-rich.
Yes, we can.
Can you imagine eliminating income tax, ensuring economic stability, increasing social programs, and improving the standard of living for all Americans while paying off the federal debt?
Yes, we can.
That's right. It's all possible.
Yes.
Can you join us in working towards a solution utilizing principles suggested by our founding fathers through united action and strategies outlined in articles, blogs, and wiki spaces where you can share and collaborate?
Uh-huh.
Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, and help us make America's money and future of, by, and for the people once again. Can you do that?
Yes, we can.
Caution. If you are prone to being disturbed by real truth and real solutions, please continue to consult with your qualified Wall Street cheerleader economist on network television. Side effects for not visiting webofdebt.com include drowsiness, loss of job, loss of control of national finance, loss of country, followed by panic attacks and rude awakenings.
Web of Debt has now been translated into Spanish, titled Telaraña de Deuda, available on Amazon.com or at telaranadedeuda.org.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the People Speak Radio. Sometimes with live radio, things come up. I'm afraid we can't seem to connect with our next guest, Paul LaRuda, so we'll have to ask him to come back another day. So I'm going to take this opportunity to speak for a few minutes on whether or not there should be a Palestinian state. I guess I would have to take it from the leaders of the occupation of Palestine. Ariel Sharon, former Prime Minister of Israel, on October 8th of 2000, in an interview in the Washington Post, was asked the question, should there be a Palestinian state? And he responded, as long as it was reached by an agreement, not a unilateral act, and that there is no army there, just a demilitarized zone with restrictions on the size of the police force and the number of heavy weapons. And there should be understandings and cooperation on the economy. If they should decide to make their area a free trade zone, they could destroy us. There must be open borders between the Palestinian entity and Israel. Practically, there is a Palestinian state in creation. The Arabs should not take any unilateral steps because Israel will have to annex those areas under our control. Now, I don't know, but that doesn't sound to me as if that's a great idea or a great position for a Palestinian state. But this is what we have. And this is how, this is the type of mentality that has been such a struggle for the Palestinian people. I don't think that anybody has ever not accepted that war happens and that people lose lands. And I don't think that we would have had any problems had the war happened, the land been taken, and it ended there. But that's not what happened. What happened was people's homes were being bulldozed by the thousands in the middle of the night, being asked to leave their homes with 15 minutes to get their belongings out. Excuse me. And where did they go? Well, they went into the streets. They went into refugee camps. And then Israel asks, why are there refugee camps? Well, you create refugees, you have to have them live somewhere. And that's what happened to the Palestinians. Is it a democracy in Israel? I don't know. I guess you would have to go and listen to the Jerusalem court system that is currently entertaining a lawsuit by the Arab, by the Arab Israelis in Israel that say they are not being treated as equal citizens. And as a matter of fact, they are suing the state of Israel as we speak for a lack of democracy on the part of these people. So again, is this a democracy? Is this a good thing? What is it? Well, it sounds, oh, wow, that's great. Well, we have Paul LaRuta who has joined us, and I am thrilled to have you here, Paul. Welcome. Paul LaRuta is the director of Global March to Jerusalem in the North American Territory, and he was born and this is interesting, an Iranian Presbyterian minister was his father and an American missionary spouse in 1946. Paul has a PhD in linguistics from Georgetown University and has spent 14 years in Arab countries as a contracted U.S. government advisor. Paul has visited the Palestinian territories many times. He's a member of the ISM, the International Solidarity Movement, and the Free Palestine Movement. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm sorry about the short intro. We want to get as much information from you as we possibly can. Paul is a very learned man and has a lot of credentials to back him up. Let me ask you, Paul, talk to us about this Global March to Jerusalem. How does one begin to coordinate such a vast effort?
Well, I'm by no means any kind of director in this effort. What I'm kind of a go-between. I was invited to come and observe some of the initial meetings of countries, representatives from groups around the world, about the organizing of this, and then coming back to the Western Hemisphere, I am just trying to get this going. Hopefully there will be lots of people who will want to take part in the organizing of this, and at some stage I certainly hope that I can step back and other people more competent than I can manage this. But the idea behind the march, it was conceived by a few people who organized the Asian Caravan to Gaza, which entered Gaza in January of this year. And when they finished, they said, hey, this was a great idea. Let's do it for the whole world. And and so they set out to contact and bring together organizations throughout the world to participate in a march on Jerusalem. And there are a lot that have joined this, especially the groups that have joined it so far are mainly in the Middle East, North Africa, and South Asia. And so what we're doing now, we're actually this weekend at the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation, We're having a workshop on this to try to bring together some of the 350 organizations that are part of the U.S. campaign to participate in this, and we're also seeking endorsement of the U.S. campaign because they do represent so many organizations. That would really help to make this work.
Well, let me ask you, I understand that, do you expect a million people to march specifically in Jerusalem as well as other nations, or is this, or are you expecting a million people to march all over the world?
It's we expect a million people to be marching towards Jerusalem. How far they get, it depends on many, many different factors. Not the least, it depends on where they are to begin with. So, for example, and we have gotten some pledges of large numbers. There has been a pledge of 100,000 from inside Israel, if you will. Sheikh Raad Salah, who is an Israeli citizen, a Palestinian with Israeli citizenship, has said that he feels confident that they can bring 100,000 Israeli Palestinians who will march to Jerusalem. And in fact, obviously, they would find the easiest time to get in. So they're the most likely ones to actually arrive. But then you have others in the West Bank, and our colleagues in Jordan, who have large numbers of Palestinians and non-Palestinians, whom they can mobilize, have said that they can mobilize 200,000. In Egypt, of course, that's an enormous nation with more than 80 million population, and it's not difficult to find a million Egyptians who feel passionately about Palestine and might be willing to participate. How far they can get, it's anybody's guess. But one of the principles that we're following, or one of the practices, is that we're going to have not only a plan A, but also a plan B, a plan C. Plan D has a bad name in the history of Palestine, but we'll probably have our own plan B and maybe a plan E. So we're thinking about what we can do, what we can make out of this.
Well, you know, Paul, many, many years ago, I was often asked, so what is the answer? Because I am a believer in nonviolent, peaceful dissent. And people would say, well, without guns and without fighting, how are you going to win back Palestine? And you know what I used to tell them? I'd say, I have a great idea, and I know it would work if we ever tried it. And I said that every Palestinian in the Western, in the West Bank and Gaza should take their shoes off and walk barefoot straight into Jerusalem. What on earth could they possibly do? How many people can they possibly murder? And I believe with all my heart that if we can successfully gather a million people to march onto Jerusalem, honestly, what could they possibly do? I can't imagine them gunning down innocent people en masse like that, and with the notoriety that this event could possibly bring about. What are your thoughts?
Well,
you
have just articulated exactly the thinking behind this march, and this kind of thinking has been in existence since at least 1968 and maybe before. Many, many people have thought along these lines, but now so many people are mobilizing in so many parts of the world. We've had the Gaza Freedom March that mobilized in Cairo. We've had the flotillas. We've had the land convoys. I see a coalescing of efforts, And finally, this idea, appropriately enough, comes from the land of Gandhi. And it's exactly what you're talking about. It's anybody's guess how far we'll get. I mean, it's very possible.
Are there going to be sessions where people are taught nonviolent resistance in these areas, Paul?
This is part of it, and everyone will take a pledge of nonviolence. Even if we are attacked, we will not inflict harm on others. If they inflict harm on us, then we will respond without inflicting harm on them. So these are part of the pledges that are taken. Now, what we're doing here in the U.S. is we're creating, of necessity, kind of legal necessity, if you will, an independent North American movement. But it's conditional. And the conditions are that we have certain things. If the march takes shape in a way that we can live with, then we will participate. If the declarations of the global march are not consistent with the values that we as a coalition of North American organizations can live with, then we'll pull out, and individual groups within the coalition are free to do what they want. But the idea is that we expect that for probably everybody in the North American coalition, and from what I've seen, everybody across the world, they insist upon nonviolence.
Now, an event like this is going to take tremendous coordination. Can you name some of the hosting sponsors of this event?
I really cannot. I can say who has said that they would be involved. I don't have it on the tip of my tongue. But there are groups in Lebanon and even Syria and Jordan and Egypt and in the West Bank and within Israel itself and in Gaza. And there are all these other groups that are coming from countries around the world. There's one starting up in Australia now. It's going to be fairly loose, but it will be unified by a set of principles and practices.
Paul, let me ask you something. You are not a foreign entity to Israeli violence and abuse. Can you talk to us about your incident on the flotilla with the Free Palestine Movement?
Well, of course, this year we never encountered Israeli forces. We know the story behind that. Maybe what you're referring to is last year and my previous encounter with that. Honestly, I have to say that, it's what has happened to me is really very, very mild compared to what happens to Palestinians and what happened to Turks and other people last year. I was beaten regularly and mishandled and so forth. They were not gentle with me, but I didn't end up with any broken bones, and other people did, and worse. People were killed last year, as we know.
And you walked away with your life. I was saying you walked away with your life. Hello, Paul? Well, I guess we must have lost Paul. Let's see if we can reconnect. But as you hear, this is a gentleman that has been the victim of Israeli violence and says being beaten regularly was okay. I don't understand that, I guess. I don't understand how we have gotten to the point where being beaten regularly for being a peaceful dissenter is an okay thing. But that's Israel. That's how it works. And that's what the Palestinians deal with. And as Paul said, that what happened to him was mild in comparison to what Palestinian families are exposed to on a daily and regular basis. As a matter of fact, since, the upcoming, September 15th, potential, for having Palestine declared a sovereign nation, Israel has once again resumed, home demolitions, in Gaza. Bombings and over and over and over and over again. I don't know if they're struggling at the last vestiges of trying to hold on to what they can, or are they just so mean-spirited that they've forgotten how to live peacefully with neighbors. You know, one of the things that somebody asked, I said, well, you know, we don't really feel sorry for Israel. I mean, if you're going to go and live, near a bunch of people that may not necessarily like you one way or the other anyway, one would think you would try to be nice to them, but I don't know. That's me. And that's how I think, about living my life. In order to be a good neighbor, you must be a good neighbor. We have evidence here that in the United States, Dick Armey, for instance, back in 2002 said that he was content to have Israel occupy the land it now occupies. And to have those people who have been aggressors against Israel retired to some other area. And I would be happy to have them make a home. Now, and I think to myself, where would they make the home? And Dick Armey is going to be happy that the aggressors against Israel, and I'm thinking to myself, obviously Dick Armey has not looked recently at a comparison of the 1948 Palestinian territories and today's Palestinian territories. Who's the aggressor here? These are the things that we have to deal with. You listen to things like, you don't exist. Well, funny, I mean, if I reach down and touch my hand, I exist. I'm really a conundrum to the Israelis. I happen to be the thing that they hate the most. I'm a Palestinian Christian. And, you know, how can they justify that to their Christian brethren? Where are the Christians when we ask for help? They're nowhere to be seen. But anymore, it is a changing event. Right now, we have activists from both sectors, such as the Israeli activist group called Avaz. I believe it's pronounced Avaz. That recently erected a large Palestinian flag near the European Union headquarters in Brussels. They did this in saying you must recognize Palestine. Over 913,171 people say recognize Palestine. These are signatures from one organization that have been presented. The peace talks are deadlocked now. The Palestinians are instead asking the UN to admit them as a member, and the world is supporting that. If you look at what's happening in surveys, 76% of Germans, 59% of Britons, and 69% of the French say that they need immediate recognition of the statehood of Palestine. The Israelis within the state of Israel say we need to recognize Palestine. All of the, and the only way that this is going to happen is through the recognizing of the fact that the United States support acts, the illegal occupation of the Palestinian territories. And that's really the key to our dilemma here. However, we've run out of time. I appreciate everything that we have heard this evening. I appreciate the people that are going to be gathering in solidarity with the Palestinian state. By that time, it should have made it through statehood. And march on Jerusalem. March barefoot onto Israel and make it happen. Thank you very much. And I have to remind you, when the people speak, when the people take action, things happen, things change. So please step forward and make your voice known. Thank you very much. My name is Vasma Farhat, and this is the People Speak Radio.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office as summer people, and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me. Thank you.